and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The White House is getting involved with efforts to end a major auto strike.
President Biden sending acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu and White House advisor Gene Sperling here to Detroit to offer their full support, he says, for the parties in reaching a contract. Mr. Biden says he would like a win-win agreement.
Companies have made some significant offers, but I believe they should go further to ensure record corporate profits mean record contracts.
Car makers say they want to reward workers, but they call the union's demands excessive. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Out west, thousands of healthcare workers could be next to hit the picket lines. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez explains.
Nearly 64,000 Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers in California, Oregon, and Washington State have authorized a strike if they don't have a new contract by September 30th. Nurses, support staff, and other employees are demanding better pay and more staffing. The union wants a four-year contract with increases of 7% the first 2 years and 6.25% in the third and fourth.
Meantime, strikes in Hollywood have been going on for months, but studios will resume negotiations with writers next week. New England is bracing for Hurricane Lee. Don Brantley's with Emergency Management in Massachusetts.
Have your emergency kit ready and easily accessible should you need any supplies like food, water, flashlight, radio. And if you have consumable medical supplies or durable equipment battery needs, please include those in your emergency kit.
Severe floods and power outages are expected in Maine. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is in Birmingham, Alabama today, marking the 60th anniversary of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing that killed four black girls.
Why have our nation's highest reaches been out of grasp for so many? Why has the opportunity to participate fully in the promise of America been kept from African Americans for so long?
Random Why? Amazon gadgets you didn't know you needed.
This told me.
As if you needed another reason to keep scrolling, TikTok's launching a new shopping platform that'll allow users to buy and sell products. Users will have full access to the new shop tab by next month. TikTok says it hopes to hit $20 billion in e-commerce sales this year. And Aaron Rodgers just gave his first post-op interview to the Pat McAfee show and isn't ruling out a comeback this season.
Is it a possibility?
I think, as Kevin Garnett said, anything's possible.
Wow.
Rodgers just had surgery to repair a torn Achilles. Experts say recovery time is typically about a year. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried new Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Everything that you'd ever seen with Miranda Lambert on it, I have my finger on the pulse of what it is. Idlewind, I've seen every article of clothing. I've spent hours and hours sending inspirations. I've sent clothes that I love and fabrics, and I'm involved in every single garment that you see. It's important to me that it is an extension of my music, and it's an extension of who I am. I always want it to stay as honest as my music.
Idlewind at Boot Barn.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, September 18th. The Wisconsin Counties Association Annual Conference continues at 7:30 a.m. at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Wisconsin Dells. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Board of Directors will meet at 6:30 p.m. at the Fair Office in Marshfield.
In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. The Health and Human Service Board will meet at 4:30 at 1462 Strongs Avenue. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet from 2 to 3 at the Library. The City of Adams Finance Committee will meet at 5, and the City Council meeting will begin at 6. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer proclaims next week, September 17th through the 23rd, to be Constitution Week in the city, urging people to reaffirm the ideals the framers of the Constitution had in 1787. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast tonight with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 53. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 74. Partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows around 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Midday Magazine for the September 15th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming in to our, on the phone lines today, we're welcoming in Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James, how are you?
I'm doing good. How have you been?
Well, staying busy. Currently on my way down to La Crosse. I'm going to head down there and meet with the leadership team at Mayo Clinic to talk about some of the work that they're doing and some of the challenges that they're facing as a healthcare system and healthcare in general here in the state. So I'm looking forward to a good conversation this afternoon.
Oh, that does sound like a really good conversation. Kind of wish I was a fly on the wall on that one. What do you expect to be some of the headlines from that conversation?
Well, I would suspect, as it has been with other hospital systems that I've met with in recent months, is that, you know, workforce continues to be a challenge. You know, things like mental health continue to be areas of concern, and doing more on the prevention end rather than being reactive. And I'm a firm believer the more money that we can spend on preventative measures actually saves us in the long run and provides better health outcomes. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of activity going on down in Madison as we kind of reconvene for the fall session. And so, you know, a number of my colleagues, including myself, were reaching out to various stakeholders to get ideas and for potential legislation that hopefully will be in the best interest for the state of Wisconsin.
Senator, you actually teed me up perfectly there, because really this time of year, from now until I'd say the beginning of the year, this is go time for you guys. You're pretty busy right about now. One of the things that I wanted to do with our discussion today was, I usually ask a lot of my questions, and every once in a while, the audience has something for you. Well, today I've got a couple of things from our audience, and I wanted to bring those to you. So it's not just my questions today. You got to put up with theirs, too.
Hey, no problem.
No, I know that's exactly what you want. You prefer that. And first up, we had some listeners asking and just kind of putting their questions together and giving one question. What are some of the more recent bills that you are working on?
So a couple of bills that actually just passed yesterday on the state Senate floor. One is the Farmland Preservation Tax Credit bill that I've worked on for the last several sessions. And for one reason or another, it's just languished. And the reason why this bill is so important is that this is a program that was created back in the 1970s. And it provides tax credits for farmland preservation to conserve our soil, to conserve, make sure that we're taking care of our water. And in recent years, we've seen a huge decline in participation in this program, and for a number of different reasons. Because one, it requires a 15-year commitment, and two, we haven't seen any increases in the tax credits in almost two decades. And why this is so critical is that over the last 13 years, we have lost over a million acres of farmland. And so if we want to incentivize individuals to continue in this program, we need to increase the tax credits. We also need to lower the years of commitment from 15 years down to 10. And so finally, after years of trying, we just passed through the state Senate yesterday, and hopeful that it'll get through the state assembly in the weeks to come and really help our farmers and help our conservation here in the state. And then a second bill is one that you and I talked about a few months ago, dealing with sexual contact, mm-hmm. and how there was a loophole in current state statute where it was brought to our attention from assistant district attorney down in Adams County, where an individual committed a heinous act and secreted some bodily fluids onto a paper plate and forced someone to touch it, which currently under state statute is, you can't commit, it's not technically a crime. And so it passed with unanimous support yesterday on the state, in the state Senate. It's already passed the assembly, and now it awaits the governor's signature.
Two important bills. Is there anything currently that you are, that is in the process behind the scenes that is getting developed right now?
Yeah, the other big bill, and one of my top priorities for this session, is the Advanced Practice Registered Nurses Modernization Act, the APRN Act, that we had passed last session. Unfortunately, it got vetoed when it reached the governor's desk. The bill has been reintroduced. We've actually moved closer to where the governor proposed in his state budget, so we're about 95% there, and we're, you know, hammering out some minor tweaks that hopefully will give the governor enough cover to sign the bill into law, which will really empower our advanced practice nurses to operate at the highest level of their scope and really help out in underserved areas such as our critical access hospitals all across the state. In fact, we had probably nearly 100 nurse anesthetists down in the state capitol yesterday for their lobby day, and they were talking with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle in both houses as to why this bill is needed. And it's legislation that has already been signed into law in 27 other states that range the gamut from very blue states to very red states. And from my perspective, this is a common sense proposal that really is going to help patients, but more importantly, empower our providers to deliver top quality care to patients here in the state.
Yeah, and seeing a lot of the similar data that you did when we talked about this the first time, I saw in those states, we did see an increase in care for our, you know, facilities, and it seemed to have that without lowering any standards as far as nursing goes.
Oh, that's just it. And so obviously there are some organizations out there that have concerns, and oftentimes we'll see this pop up when we're dealing with scope of practice issues where, you know, you'll see this turf war and a tug of war between different medical professionals. And, you know, some of the things that have been thrown out against this bill are really unfounded, because when you take a look at the quality of care in other states that have implemented this, the sky hasn't fallen. And in fact, we already have a track record here in the state of Wisconsin when the governor, through some executive orders during the pandemic, actually removed some of the very restrictions that exist in current law. And again, the sky didn't fall here in the state. And so, you know, we think we have a reasonable and sound track record here in the state, as well as others, to prove that this is actually good common sense legislation that needs to get done. And, you know, after nearly a decade of having this bill introduced in some form or another, and given the fact that last session was the first time this bill had ever advanced out of both houses, I think we're in a really good position to get this done. We're trying to build a strong case. That's why we launched the website a couple months ago, qualifiedtoheal.com, where individuals can learn about the legislation. They can hear directly from APRNs as to why this bill is needed. And more importantly, they can sign a petition if they're in support of this law, because right now what we're trying to do is build as much critical mass behind this legislation. So hopefully when it does reach the governor's desk, it'll have a more favorable outcome than it did the last time it reached its desk.
Oh, one of the other things that we've had a couple of listeners wanting me to ask you about, I don't believe that there's been any new news about, but the Brewers Stadium deal, the limbo of that. And one of the main things coming from our listeners were, is there really any realistic chance we could lose the Brewers? From your perspective, from what you're hearing from your colleagues behind the scenes, is this still developing? Is there anything being done about it?
Yeah, there is. There's actually been a work group, a bipartisan work group in both houses that's being led by one of my colleagues in the Senate, Senator Dan Fine from the Fond du Lac area, Representative Rob Brooks down from Saukville, as well as legislative leadership. And I think the game plan right now is to release a preliminary bill on this coming Monday, which is going to provide a framework. It's not going to be set in stone. I have been keeping my powder dry on this issue now. You know, as it was released initially earlier this year when the governor announced that he wanted to propose giving the Brewers a $298 million check to have them stay, you know, that obviously received a lot of pushback from individuals because there weren't any real details of the plan. And so from my perspective, you know, for me personally, I have a hard time you know, being in the business as a state to own professional sports stadiums. However, this is a deal that originally was crafted back in the late 90s where the state owns a portion of American Family Field, or as I always call it, Miller Park.
Yeah.
But my hope is that any deal that gets crafted has a minimal impact on the taxpayers across the state. That is a good deal for all taxpayers. And if we can keep the Brewers, great, because I don't think anyone wants to see them leave. And the other concern that I have is that, you know, just last session, we finally phased out the stadium tax. And at the time, I don't recall anyone from the stadium park board or even the Brewers themselves who were raising any concerns as to why we should keep the tax in place. And so what we'll see. I'm keeping my powder dry until I see the final details. And I'm going to be lending my voice to ensure that this is the best deal for taxpayers here in the state. And hopefully we can come to some sort of agreement that allows the Brewers to stay here and continue leading the way here in the NL Central.
From what I've gathered from our listeners and even just online or talking to other people from out of this area, I think that with the Oakland Athletics situation, that has gotten a lot of people a little nervous because of a team. Anytime a team moves, I think it gets a small market team a little nervous. Let's play this out a little bit. If it does come down to they're standing pack, we're standing pack, they're not going to pay for a new stadium, we're not going to pay for a new stadium. What happens in that game of chicken?
Well, that's certainly a possibility because, as you referenced, Milwaukee is a small market compared to many others, and they don't get the large TV contracts that, you know, a lot of the bigger market areas do. And so, you know, that presents a unique set of challenges to the team and to the stadium. And so my hope is that, you know, if we can get a deal done, great. If not, it is a real possibility that, you know, the Brewers could be courted by some bigger markets that may offer incentives for them to relocate. And, you know, I can't remember when it was, but we know the Brewers at one time, I think before they were named, the Brewers had left the state. They eventually came back. But it would be nice to keep the Brewers here in Wisconsin. But, again, the devil's in the details, and well, we'll see how things shake out. But, again, I would encourage individuals, take a look when the legislation does get introduced next week, to review it, provide feedback, because I'm going to be relying on feedback from folks across the 24th Senate District. Because I can tell you, initially, we've received a lot of pushback on any potential deals for the Brewers. And we just want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence and putting our best efforts forward. And again, hopefully, we can come up with a deal that gets them to stay, all the better. And we want to keep them here.
Recently, you joined farmers from across the western and central Wisconsin, as well as Wisconsin legislators, at the Ag Listening Session in La Crosse. How did that go? What were some of the headlines from that conversation?
Yeah, so last month, Congressman Van Orden organized an incredible listening session for the federal farm bill. In fact, he even brought in the House Chairman, G.T. Thompson, who's a congressman from Pennsylvania. And even before the official listening session kicked off, we got to have a work luncheon with the chairman, myself, and several of my colleagues in the assembly. And we had a really good conversation, whether it was talking about milk prices, various regulations that can help our egg industry, not just here in the state, but around the country. You know, I got to attend the listening session. I think there was over 200 people that showed up to lend their support and just some of the issues that they're facing right now. And so it was a really great example of both, you know, the private sector along with the federal and the state coming together to lend a collective voice to ensure that whatever happens at the federal level is that it's going to be in the best interest for all farmers and every sector of our ag industry. And so a credit to Congressman Van Orden for organizing this event, and hats off to Chairman G.T. Thompson for taking time out of his extremely busy schedule to fly into Wisconsin and sit down and hear what folks in the Badger State have to say. And hopefully it's going to lead to some positive impacts as Congress continues to debate the federal ag bill.
Yeah, when it comes to that, what are some of the outliers with that stand out to you as far as importance with this bill?
Well, I think there was a few issues that popped up that, you know, our common themes that, you know, we've been dealing with at the state level. One mm-hmm. is workforce. I mean, that continues to dominate the discussions, especially as our egg industry continues to age. I think the average age of our dairy farmers is now approaching 60. And so that presents significant challenges. The others were things like milk prices and trying to do everything that we can to stabilize that and not have so much volatility in the marketplace. And then we even had conversations about things like solar farms. And, you know, I think everyone's in agreement that anything that we can do to reduce our carbon footprint is a step in the right direction. But we want to do it in a measured approach. And, you know, as we've seen, especially here in central Wisconsin, a number of large solar farms that have been proposed in different areas, whether it's down in Saratoga, the town of Grand, town of Plover. Some people have concerns that, you know, there's issues of taking valuable egg land out of production for 25 to 30 years. But at the same time, how do you balance that when we're dealing with private property rights? And, you know, when individuals are able to lease their land and have a revenue stream, it's one of those areas that, you know, I think warrants more discussion. It's one thing that I've been pushing the Follett School of Public Policy on to provide some guidance to the legislature, because to be quite honest, we are all over the board as it relates to some of these solar projects. We have, you know, some of my colleagues who have introduced legislation that wants to make it more difficult, more prohibitive. And we have others who are taking other approaches, such as Representative Krug has his community solar bill, which would allow for smaller projects in various areas of the state. And so really just trying to find the best practices moving forward and giving us some direction on what the best approach is.
When it comes to the many different projects that are going on with solar, is there an effort to kind of work together on these? You know, you mentioned the different bills that are being about and that.
Yeah, it's still, like I said, the legislature, we are all over the board as it relates to things like large solar projects. And, you know, my approach has sort of been like Switzerland because, you know, obviously private property owners have a right to choose what they do with their property. But obviously some people have voiced concerns that they don't necessarily want this in their backyard because it's an eyesore. And then the other component of that is, yeah, taking valuable egg land out of production for nearly three decades. And so, you know, these projects have the right to go through the permitting process through the Public Service Commission where, you know, they take a look at the merits being proposed, and then there's also public input. And so we've been encouraging people as these have popped up and they've reached out to our office to show up to the public input meetings to lend their voices. And again, it helps direct not only the Public Service Commission, but it also helps inform us as policymakers down in Madison.
We're speaking with State Senate District Number 24 Representative Patrick Teston, and I bring that up in part because we have this fun time of year where we get to talk about the coolest things in Wisconsin. Every year you get a chance to nominate something. Last year it was Feltz's Family Farms and Dairy Store. It was a great nominee. This year, how did it go deciding on the nominee, and who did you decide go with on this?
This was a tough decision, as it is every year, because we're very blessed and fortunate here in the 24th Senate District to have so many great employers who are doing fantastic things. And so I'll be honest, this was a real challenge. We had a lot of great submissions and ideas that came forward, but we ultimately ended on Gamber Johnson. They make a number of different products, and anyone who's ever done a ride-along in any of our law enforcement agencies here in central Wisconsin, you've probably seen their products. And they provide some of the carriers where, and the mounts where officers have their laptops and police vehicles, and they make a whole host of other products. But it's really a great company, great leadership team, great employees. They pay great wages, and just like everyone else, they're looking for workers. And so we figured with everything that they're doing, not just on what they do on a day-to-day business operation, but how much they're involved in the community and give back. We figured, you know what, it's their time to put them forward and be one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. So it was Gamber Johnson that won our nod this year.
Do you did you have some that came close, other nominees you want to mention, and we can give a shout-out to some of the other great places in central Wisconsin here?
Yeah, one of the other companies that we have put forward or we're thinking about putting forward, and actually we found out it was just outside the 24th Senate District by about 200 feet, but if you're ever driving on Highway 21 between Tomah and Sparta, just out Sparta, there's this really neat manufacturer that makes fiberglass decorations. And if you've ever driven outside Sparta, you'll drive right past and you'll see these giant fiberglass figures of like Santa Claus, a pheasant, and it's a really cool company. And we ended up going with them just because they were just outside the 24th Senate District, but who knows, you know, they could end up being in it in the near future or in the next decade. So we'll keep them in consideration for years to come.
You recently, the next two things I'm so jealous of you on, I want to talk to you about. You were on your job series. You got to hang out with Wisconsin Ducks Unlimited. That seemed like a really fun time.
It was. So back in, what was this, July or early August, spent a day with Ducks Unlimited, and it was out in the Mead Wildlife Refuge. And it was an early morning. I think I had to leave the house at about 4:30 to get out to Millador. And initially, we were going to start the day where we were going to band ducks for research. And literally right before they were going to shoot the nets, it started to rain, so we weren't able to band the ducks because when it rains, it can mess with their feathers, and so we didn't want to injure any of the ducks or impact them. But really got to spend the rest of the day working on habitat restoration. And recently, Ducks Unlimited and the Mead Wildlife Refuge were gifted 180 acres of a once cranberry marsh. And so they're working on restoring the habitat, and they're going to be making a number of different renovations to the land to restore it back to what it once was. And so it involved, you know, using this really advanced technology to go out and plot the land and really get to see what they do day in and day out. And again, it's another great partnership where sportsmen and conservation, they come together, and it just goes to show that, you know, sportsmen, they care about as much about the land as anyone else and making sure that, you know, we have a strong sport and heritage for future generations to have. And so it was a ton of fun. I learned a lot. In fact, even my conversations, because this literally took place a few days before we had the listening session with Congressman Van Orden as well as Chairman G.T. Thompson. And, you know, there are some provisions within the Farm Bill that they're looking after that deal with habitat restoration and conservation that really helped inform me. And I was able to lend my voice when we had the roundtable discussion before the listening session with Chairman Thompson.
And as we're wrapping up, you and I have touched on this before. I think we're both big history nerds, love history. And you recently got to see the archives of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. How was that experience? And what were some of the things that you might have gotten to see that, you know, some of us don't always get to? There's only so much room in the museum.
Oh, this was... As a history nerd, I literally was geeking out. Yeah, so yeah. The Veterans Museum of Wisconsin have a relatively new archive, state-of-the-art. In fact, it's actually the fourth largest military archive in the country, which is a tremendous treasure. And so along my office and then along with Senator Mary Felskowski's office, we got to have a private tour to go through some of the collection. And I was absolutely blown away. I mean, we got to see some regiment colors from the Civil War from some of the Wisconsin brigades that were involved in so many different campaigns in the Civil War, from, you know, Antietam to Gettysburg to Appomattox. And I mean, it was really walking through time and reading some of the original letters and correspondence from soldiers who served in the Civil War or in World War II or World War I. Even seeing one of only two original top hats from the Iron Brigade, and it really put things into perspective. And to know that there is a dedicated team and staff that are preserving our veteran stories and their oral histories, it is so critical that we remember and have ties to our past, because, you know, I think oftentimes we take for granted, you know, the freedoms that we have today and the sacrifices that went into it. It really humbles you and puts things into perspective. And I honestly, we only got about 2 hours down in the archives walking through, and as the staff shared some of the pieces of their collection. And I honestly, I could have spent days down there. And if anyone gets a chance, because right now the Veterans Museum of Wisconsin, they're in the works right now to build a new facility, and they're working on the capital campaign and just making sure that, again, future generations of Wisconsinites, as well as anyone that goes and visits, really understands the rich history that Wisconsin has played throughout major events in U.S. history. And mm-hmm. it was an experience of a lifetime.
You brought up a great word there, perspective. And it's one of my favorite things about looking at history and going down those rabbit holes is the perspective that you almost can't help but have when you're diving down that rabbit hole. I appreciate that, sir. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about, or just reach out to you in general, how can they do that?
Yeah, if anyone needs to reach out, feel free to give my office a call. Our number is 608-266-3123. Then shoot me an email at sen.teston@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media. And really, right now is the time, because we are back in full force down to Madison between now and probably until April or May of next year. And it's crunch time as we come up towards the tail end of this legislative session. So if anyone has ideas, or as legislation develops and becomes public, lend your voices and let us know how you feel and what the right direction and approach should be. And if you see me out and about the 24th, stop me anytime. I'm happy to chat with anyone.
Appreciate the time. As always, safe travels out there. We'll talk again next month.
Look forward to it.
Thanks again. Senator Patrick Teston joining us right there. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Rome Farmers Market is today from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's only three Rome Farmer Markets left this season. On Saturday, the historic Point Boss Free Harvest Fair is from 10 to 4. And they have a campfire cooking workshop from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., but you must pre-register at historicpointboss.com under the News tab. On Sunday, the Fall into Switched Craft Fair will be from 9 to 3 at Switch 2 in Nakusa. Off the Clock with Heart of Wisconsin is at Witter Field on Monday, September 18th at 4 p.m. Check out the Craft River, Locker Room, Rat Trap, and Press Box during a fun evening networking with the Heart of Wisconsin. They'll have raffle prizes, free food, music, a 50-50 raffle, and free beer till you kill the keg. It's open to the public and free to attend. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast tonight with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 53. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 74. Partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows around 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Been looking forward to this. It's been a while. Stephanie Hartman joining us right now from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Stephanie, it's been a while. How you doing?
It has. I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks a lot for being here. Always
Thank
good to
you
have you in
having
studio
me.
And see you and to talk about our friends at the Cultural Center. I am looking forward to diving right into this because we got a lot to talk about. Let's talk about the new exhibit to start off.
Okay. So we have an opening coming Thursday night, 5:30 to 7:30 is opening night, Meet the Artists, at the Cultural Center, which we are located between Goodwill and Culver's are the two markers that we're using. And people are like, oh, sure, I know where that is. But this is for our new exhibit called Rapid Waters. And this exhibition features over 40 artists and over 80 pieces. And what the call for art was for the artists to interpretate the role of water in our lives. Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting to see how you can ask for something and you get all these different things. It's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
So we have all forms of art, including 2D, 3D, and mixed media. And some of the pieces will truly take your breath away. They're just awesome. And also a different feature of this exhibit, this is the first time we've done this. We did a community project where we asked individuals from the community to come in and paint a small panel. It was just under 4 inches by 4 inches. And again, we asked them to interpret the role of water in their life. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun to see what they did. We had very talented, seasoned artists, and we had groups from the Boys and Girls Club come in who maybe aren't necessarily artists, but some of those kids were quite amazing, I might add. So we have over 100 panels, and we put it together as a big collage, and that will also be featured at the exhibit. So we're really excited about that.
That is going to be really cool looking.
It is.
I cannot wait to see that.
And again, it's just so fun to see people's interpretation. You know, there's some really abstract ones. There's the cutest little duck made by one of the people from Boys and Girls Club. I mean, they're just all different things. So it's super fun to see the colors they use, you know, how they do interpret water.
I really liked this project when I first heard about it. Stephanie, is this something that did you get a good response from the community on this one? Did you get good interactions with people?
We did. So we have over 100 panels, which I think is a pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
And people were funny, as we all are, like, well, I'm not really an artist. Can I still do this? Or so we were just really happy to have folks come in and do this. And if you want to, you know, go online a little bit. So the waters theme is actually being done all through central Wisconsin right now. UWSP was the spearhead of that. So galleries in Wausau, Point, and Rapids are all doing a water theme. Rapid Waters is what we chose for ours. But there's different water themes throughout. So it's kind of neat that everybody collaborated and we're all interpreting the same thing.
I hope we see more of these kind of projects.
Me too.
I think that's really cool, and it brings the whole community together. And I love the person that, oh, I'm not an artist, and then you see what they do and like, wait a minute. Yeah, you are. You're great. You're like, oh, no. We have so many people like that in this community, in this area.
Really. Yes.
That's great.
And I think what's neat, too, with the collage project is just seeing how much talent we have in central Wisconsin. So not only do we have over 40 artists in the exhibit, but then we have 100 panels done as well. Yeah. So it's just really great.
How long will this exhibit be out?
So this will stay up through October 12th.
Cool.
And then we're going to roll right into our holiday show after that. We're asking individuals that have... we call it Holiday Gifts and Art Fair, that they can bring in. And we will have the holiday show November and December, shopping hours during the week and on Saturdays.
Excellent. Wow.
So that'll be great.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be really great. And we need those extra days. Some of us do.
Absolutely.
I'm one of those people. I mean, that's great. We have classes we wanted to touch on, too. This is something where when we get the chance to get together and put some focus on this or some of the monthly gatherings we can hopefully get to are really important. There's so much going on at the Cultural Center. We don't have enough time to cover everything. So sometimes we don't get a chance to touch on this stuff. I'm glad we can talk about it today.
Yeah, so we have two classes that are open right now. One of them is the water glass window prism class. So this is session 4 of it because we opened session 1 and it filled, session 2 filled, session 3 filled. So we're going to do session 4. So we do have a couple openings in that one. That will be Monday, September 18th with a 9 a.m. start. And you're creating a stained glass prism that's a little window prism with Bonnie Dine will walk you through the process of soldering and doing all of that. And I was the test student, myself and Heather. And if I can do it, I can tell you anyone can do it.
I was gonna say the same thing, Stephanie. I've done this once, and my mother still has the piece I made for her. And if I can do it, you can do it too. Yeah, if we can both
Totally agree. And they're really beautiful. And we went with the water theme because of the exhibit, but they're quite beautiful. So we're using water glass for that. So the class is $55. You can register online. You can call us at the Cultural Center or just stop in, and we can get you registered for that. And then our other open class right now is on Friday, September 22nd. That's a Friday night, 6 o'clock start. And it's On Trend Boo Spooky Thrifted Art with Heather Bailey.
Oh, it's so good.
So this is a really big trend where you buy already done art and then add like your own pieces to it to make it either a fall scene or a Halloween theme. So it's going to be a fun class to see what people can come up with.
I didn't know about this. My daughter was telling me about it. And it was just this weekend. So now to hear about this class, it's really cool.
That's awesome. It's the big trend right now. Yeah. And Heather is super creative. So has been frequenting all of the Goodwill and the other stores, and we have pieces available, or if people have a piece that they're like, boy, we could really do something cool with this, bring it on in. But we'll also have pieces available.
I think one of my favorite things about art, and especially it seems like what's been going on for a good 10-20 years, is the repurposing of things.
Yes.
When you see those old doors and they turn it into a table or that kind of, I find that such an interesting end of art. And this is a really cool idea for a class. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And Bonnie Dine is also coming up with some other kind of thrifted art things using wine bottles and some other things. So watch for that. Those new classes should be out in the next couple weeks, and they'll be on our website.
Are they classes that you need to register for? Or?
Yes, so you can register online. As soon as we publish a class, the registration is open. You can register online. You can call us, and we can just write you manually in the book. Or if you want to see an example of the class, you can stop in. We have that on site, and then we can register you there.
Stephanie, do you have other classes you want to touch on, or
just those two for
okay.
now?
See, well, that actually you set me up, because I know that we've talked about this in the past with the Cultural Center. If I am somebody out there, say, I don't know, I'm the biggest Simpsons fan in the world, and I want to do a class on all the voices, the history of the Simpsons. Then nobody's going to attend that class. But if you have a better idea than that, and you want to go to Stephanie and say, hey, I think that the community would really like this, is that an option? Is that
absolutely. Absolutely. And we actually, the class is full, so I didn't mention it, but we have a new instructor starting, and she's doing a mosaic tray class.
Ooh,
so I'm really
cool.
excited about that, but it filled really fast. But stay tuned, because we're going to see how this first class goes. We bought enough supplies for two, so we'll probably run one in October as well.
And thank you for bringing that up. That's a perfect example of this. There's something that maybe somebody was sitting around thinking, oh, I don't know who would like this. But then they, I'll ask. I'll just see. And it fills up right away.
Yeah. I think it was under 2 days. So we're like, apparently we should be doing more mosaics. So we're going to try that too.
Please, we'll give you Steph's contact information before we wrap up today. But that is really good to know that the open door policy about this.
Absolutely.
And how many people can take advantage of that, because there's so many talented people in this area.
Yes. And a lot of times people say, I don't have time, or I just don't know if it'll be worth it. So we do pay our instructors. I think people think all our instructors are volunteer, and that's not true. We pay instructors $25 an hour for teaching and $15 an hour for prep. So if you have something that you think the community would love to learn from you, please stop in and let's talk it through.
It's a really cool thing to be able to offer to those instructors, too.
Yes.
I imagine most of them would probably do it no matter what. But that's such a nice thing to be able to do for the artist.
Absolutely.
The creatives. When we talk about supporting the arts and supporting local, there's layers to that. And that is a layer that I don't think many people touch on. That's really important to me about this. One of the bigger reasons I support the Cultural Center, and always has, is they support the artists.
Yes.
So importantly. And as an artist, I mean, we don't have a lot of people doing that in our society. That is pretty
darn cool.
Have a community like ours that has had such a presence for so long with the Cultural Center. I don't know if we give enough respect and enough credit to that. I feel like we should.
And I think that I've said this before, but the number of artists in our area is astounding to me.
Yeah.
And actually this new instructor, Cindy, we ended up connecting with her because she was going to bring stuff for the gift shop. And then we right away were like, well, have you thought about teaching? She said, I teach my friends all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We said, let's try it.
Yeah,
it, obviously is going to go well. But that kind of leads me into our gift shop as well. So please make sure you stop in and see our gift shop. Our gift shop has over 50 artists with items. And really cool special gifts that you can get for people. We also have greeting cards, which are cheaper than Hallmark, I might add, and homemade. And some of them are just really beautiful. So if you're looking for something a little bit unique, or you have that person in your life where you're like, gosh, they have everything.
Right.
Maybe I could find something a little bit different. We have beautiful jewelry. So take the time to stop in. And our gift shop hours are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then, like I said, in November and December, we will also be open on Saturdays from 10 until 2.
Speaking with Stephanie Hartman from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, and to piggyback off of what you were saying there, whether you are attending classes and paying for those, or you are buying things at the gift shop, you are buying local, you are supporting local, you are putting right back into your community and helping the Cultural Center continue to do some of these great things that you guys host and have and that we look forward to so much. Speaking of things we look forward to, Art on Tap.
Yes, Art on Tap is coming in October, Saturday, October 7th. 5:30 till 8:30. So this evening we'll bring free homebrew tasting. Mm. We have live music from the Barefoot Americans, which I'm super excited about.
That's awesome. Yes.
Rapid Waters will still be up, so you will be able to see that. We will also, in addition to the free brew tasting, we do have a cash bar, and then we will have a food truck as well. So really a fun evening of just a really great way to feature the art of home brewing, which is also an art.
Yeah, yeah.
Feature our artists from our exhibit, live music, which is always fun. And then it just helps us with our programming. You know, a lot of people don't, besides our classes, they don't realize that we host instructors who are teaching guitar, ukulele, piano, and voice lessons. So they're housed with us. We are the home for Very Special Arts Choir, which is now Arts for All, Wisconsin Rapids Choir. Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor.
That's my guy.
They're our favorite. They play the first and third Thursday of the month, and they are switching their time to 2 p.m.
Oh, okay.
So they've kind of been jumping around with their time. I'm hoping 2 will stay at 2.
Yeah.
But again, that's the first and third Thursday of the month. And then we are also the home for the Central Wisconsin Choristers, which is actually a children's choir. Most students are grades 3 through 8. And they're from Wisconsin Rapids, Plover, Nakusa, Port Edwards, Rudolph Vesper.
Nice
but
job.
a really nice offering that isn't being offered anywhere else. So the money that we raise for Art on Tap will just kind of help us be able to do all of those things. As everyone knows, you know, it costs to keep the lights on. It costs to heat the building. And then, of course, we want to be offering classes and all the other things that we do. So we are asking for sponsorships from the community. So if you are a local business that would like to support the arts, we have different levels of sponsorship starting at $100 up to $1,500. We would love the support. And then, of course, we'll give you lots of shout outs and praise and thank yous. But again, it all to help us support our programming.
Yeah, you'll be getting shout outs on this station too. Whether you guys have commercials with us or not, we always are going to mention the Cultural Center. We'll be talking about it. And while we'll be talking about you, we'll be talking about these sponsors.
Yes.
So there's an added bonus for you if you are a business out there. A little bit extra bang for your buck on that stuff. And it's so vital we get into this topic here, Stephanie, because first off, Art on Tap, great idea. And I love what you said about that brewing is a creative art as well.
Yeah,
it truly is. Not better known in any other state more than this one.
Right.
We know what an art brewing can be here. And I think that it's cool to bring highlight to that, to bring some attention to that, to any time we can tell people who don't realize they're artists, I love that.
Or absolutely.
I love people who have never spent the day of their life thinking they're creative when they've spent every day of their life being creative.
Yeah.
I love bringing attention to that. You brought up the money for these classes and or the classes we were talking about earlier or Art on Tap. the money raised for that can help with classes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think whether it's a nonprofit, it's you guys, it's almost anybody we talk to on the air. One of the most common themes is how much creativity and how much art we have in this community.
Yes.
How many great musicians and artists and photographers and painters. While these are natural God-given talents, they didn't start that way.
Right.
They learned these things from somewhere. They learned these lessons from somewhere. Many times, oftentimes, and maybe at the cultural center.
Right.
We want to continue to make more artists. We want to continue to support artists. We want to continue to have that beautiful bed of talent we have in this community. We can continue to do that through the arts classes that are here, you know, at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center.
Yep.
So when you apply, when you go to these events, when you sponsor these events, you're not just sponsoring the event for right now. You're sponsoring the future of that event, the future of this area in the creative arts.
Absolutely.
As we go forward, unfortunately, there is more and more money being pulled from schools as far as the arts go. It's on us as a society to pull our own weight. And to make up for that, I don't put that on schools. I don't put that on them. I think that us as a society, we can support this stuff, and in part through things like this, events like this.
Absolutely, and you know, we were really proud. We did our first children's series this summer, and had aspiring artists, budding artists, and really good artists in once a week for 7 weeks. And they could come once, or they could come to all seven. It was totally what fit in their schedule. Tuesday mornings were my favorite because you could just hear all this chatter. Mm-hmm. And these kids so excited, you know, to have this opportunity to learn about an artist and then do a project that's sort of inspired by what their talent was and what they were known for. And we want to do more kids programming because, like you said, there's so much money being pulled from the schools. And art is so important. Creativity is so important. That side of your brain needs a workout. And, you know, that's what we hope to be able to provide.
I think most people understand that a little kid picks up an instrument. They may not go on to work at the, you know, Boston Philharmonic or something like that and be the lead chair or something. But that creativity that they learn, that improvisation, all of that, they're going to use that as an accountant, as a mechanic, as a doctor. Like, the creative arts don't just end with art. Like, it is embedded in everything they do. If they're a mechanic and they got to figure out what's wrong with this engine, they're going to be using their creativity. They're going to be using their improv skills. There's no field that isn't affected by. So when we're supporting this stuff, we're supporting our society. We're supporting the future of all this and future of creativity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just so needed. And, you know, there aren't a lot of organizations that can that can do this. So, the support from the community is huge.
Stephanie, I know if we had the time, we wanted to get to a little bit of the monthly gatherings that you guys host over there. We got a little bit of time here. Well, let's dive right into it.
Okay. So I think there's a thought out there that, like, you have to be a member of the Cultural Center or something like that.
Yeah.
That is not the case. Mm-hmm. All of our monthly gatherings are open to the public. Most are free of charge. We ask for donations off and on. But one of the groups that we have is called Make What You Brung. And we realize that's improper grammar, but it's to...
I love it.
So it's for artists that have an unfinished or unstarted portable art project. We hear a lot that, you know, creativity is awesome, but it can also be lonely because there's not a lot of places to gather. Yeah. To do art. So that is on the first Wednesday of every month from 1 until 4. You just come. We have a $5 suggested donation. If you can't afford it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You just come on in. You can bring a snack or a refreshment if you'd like. And it's just really fun to listen to the artists talk, share ideas about what they're doing. I think what's really nice is it gives people the opportunity to say, you know, I'm stuck on this project.
Yes.
And do you have suggestions or could you help me or what have you done in order to complete a project like this? So just really nice socializing and bouncing ideas off people.
Yeah. And no artist has ever not been influenced by another artist.
Correct.
I mean, you know, it's so vital for that, not only for your projects, but for their projects.
Right.
And you just don't know what can be spun off of that. I think as the older I get, the thing that I love more than acting, than radio, than writing, than anything is the collaborating with yes. the with others.
Yes.
No matter what it is I'm doing. If I'm painting, I like collaborating with somebody. Like, there's just such a fun aspect of that to art. And I wish I'd realized that when I was younger. It's so yes. cool to see with projects like this and you know, classes like gatherings like this mm-hmm. for people to have that opportunity.
Absolutely. And Artist Coffee is along those same lines. Just basically come and have some coffee. Dunkin' Donuts has been great about nice. Providing donuts.
You had me at Dunkin' Donuts.
Correct. And that is the last Thursday of the month from 9 to 10:30. So we just had them last week. And again, that one especially seems to be kind of an advice session almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to do this, but I don't know where to go from here. And it gives artists an opportunity to share what they're working on. And I hate the word critique, so we'll go with feedback.
Yeah.
Yes. They like to yes. receive that as well. And then along the same lines, but specific to writers, is Writers Share, which is the second Wednesday of the month from 1 till 3. Aspiring artists, seasoned writers, it can be poetry, it can be anything that you write. Come on in, meet with some other writers, and that has really been nice, again, for kind of a feedback. And they seem comfortable sharing what they've written with this group versus maybe taking that leap of like, I'm going to really share widely. Yeah. Let me share it with this group first, and then we'll go from there. Hmm. So that's a nice little group as well.
Yeah.
And then Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor, I mentioned, first and third Thursday of the month, now at 2 p.m.
Yeah, I got it. Me and Pete have been playing phone tag for like a year.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to get him on director's cut. You know, I love Pete. I love his band. I've talked about this endlessly on the radio already. But if you have not gotten a chance to, you will be just like me. You will get hooked. You will get a taste of that sound and want to hear Pete. Not just the great music that they play. Pete is a wonderful MC.
Yes.
He's so good with a crowd, so good mm-hmm. with an audience, like few I have seen in that spot. Take them in and enjoy and support these guys because they do a really nice job every month bringing this concert to us. This yep. you know that we get to look forward to and everything.
Yeah, and they're just so they're hilarious
yeah, they
for
are.
One.
They are.
but they're also so very talented, and mm-hmm. it's just really fun to be able to have live music.
Yes.
Right here in our community, no charge. It's free admission. We do take donations and give them to the group, but there's no charge to attend.
Stephanie, if people have follow-up questions, or there's businesses out there that want to sponsor with some of the things we've talked about, any of the above, how can they reach you?
Sure. So our phone number, which that's the easiest one probably, is 715-421-4598. If you're seeking information, our website is loaded and up to date, and that is culturalcenterarts.com, or send us an email at cwcc@culturalcenterarts.org. So any of those ways. We are on Facebook. We do tons of Facebook events. So if you follow us on Facebook, you'll get updates as we are adding new classes and doing other things. We are also on Instagram. But again, stop in and see us. Our business hours. Now, when I say that, people always go, how can you get anything done in those short hours? Well, our classes, our music lessons, even, you know, private tours and things like that are all outside of those hours.
Yeah.
But our traditional business hours are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. But again, if that doesn't work for you, give us a call.
I always appreciate the time. Thank you, Stephanie.
It was great. Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of auto workers are off the job.
No justice!
No jeeps!
No justice!
No jeeps!
They are picketing in Ohio, Missouri, and Michigan, where we find CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
They're targeting plants that make trucks and SUVs that are popular with consumers, that are profitable for the automakers. It is, in some ways, a warning shot, saying, you know, this is what we can do at three plants. Think about what would happen if we took a larger action.
And President Biden says workers deserve a share in these record profits.
Workers deserve a fair share of the benefits they help create for an enterprise. I do appreciate that the parties have been working around the clock. And when I first called them at the very first day of the negotiations, I said, please stay at the table as long as you can.
He's sending officials to Detroit now to help hash out a deal. Millions in the Northeast are gearing up for Lee. It is now a tropical storm, but Belfast Maine Mayor Eric Sanders says it could still cause damage.
The citizens of Belfast will be hunkered down tomorrow because they use good old common sense. And to let our crews do the work, we're looking at flooding and probably a lot of electrical power loss due to downed trees, due to water saturation already here.
New Mexico's governor just changed a controversial gun order. CBS's Christopher Cruz.